Once or five had shouted around, Gregor and Henry decided to head home. Walking along the street in the dark, Henry turned towards Gregor and said, "It won't last, Greg, I tell you. Bet you in another 2 months they'll be singing a different tune." "What are you on about, Henry? What different tune?" "That one about the bosses and the workers and the war, all that bullshit. Bet you in 2 months' time it'll be, 'Where do we sign up?' and 'God, King and Country.' Betcha." "So what do you think we should do, Henry? Sign up? Ignore it all?" "Let's sign up, Greg. Let's go do it. I saw a poster in Westport asking for men with mining or quarrying skills to enlist. Said they were forming a tunnelling company. Come on, we'll do it. See the world." "I don't know, Henry. It's risky. What if something should happen to one of us? Or both of us, for Christ's sake? We don't have to enlist. They want us coal miners to stay here. Need the coal, I guess. Besides, I've got a daughter and another little one on the way. Plus, it wouldn't be fair on Mum, not with Dad having had that stroke and all. What if one of us got killed?" Henry was silent for a moment before replying, "Not a chance, Greg. We'll be underground, well away from all them bullets, bombs and stuff. We'll be right." Gregor stopped in the middle of the road, regarding his brother, and quietly said, "And thinking of Dad, what do you think he would say if you told him we were going over there to fight a war, knowing he left there because of war? What do you think he would say?" Henry gazed up at the night sky, shrugging his shoulders, and said, "He'd tell us we were doing the right thing. He'd tell us to go. He'd say..." He stopped talking abruptly, not at all convinced his father would say that at all. "Yeah, well, I'm not sure about the idea. Tell you what, though, I'll talk to Isabel about it." "You do that, Greg," Henry said as he turned off the main street and headed towards his shack on the edge of the cliff. Gregor stood in the middle of the street, gazing at the disappearing form of his brother. He gazed up at the stars and wondered what Isabel would say when he told her what Henry had suggested. Shoving his hands in his pockets, he walked on. When he got home, Isabel had just finished getting Wendy into bed and asleep. She was standing at the stove stirring a pot of soup. Without turning around, she simply said, "Welcome home, dear." Gregor took 3 paces across the floor and wrapped his arms around her from behind. He could feel the slight swell of her belly. He nuzzled her neck. She turned and pushed him away. "You stink of beer, and you're grubby. Go wash before you go fondling me, and before I give you your dinner." She went to turn back to the stove, but stopped and peered hard at Gregor. "What is it, hun? You've got a strange look on your face, and I'm guessing it's not good news. I know you. I've seen that look before. What is it?" "No, don't tell me. Go wash first." Gregor went out through the back door to a lean-to where there was a copper sink and large jug of water. Using sand soap, he washed the coal dust off his face and gave his hands a good cleanse. He would stand under a cold shower before he went to bed, but for now this would do. Isabel was labelling soup into 2 bowls when he came back inside. "Right," she said, "what is it?" "The lads were talking at the pub about the war and all," he began. "Henry reckons we should sign up, enlist." Isabel calmly placed the ladle in the soup pot and sat down on the wooden chair across the table from Gregor. Leaning back slightly, she folded her arms and stared at Gregor with her dark blue eyes. They seemed to stare right through Gregor, and he averted his eyes from hers. He knew Isabel's blue stare. It could easily last for a minute or two. He turned back. "What's Henry's wife's name?" Isabel asked. "Wife? He hasn't got a wife, is he?" "Oh, that's right. Remind me then, how many kids does Henry have?" She stared at Gregor. Gregor squirmed under her gaze and sat immobile. He tried to look away, anywhere but at Isabel. He opened his mouth to speak, then closed it again. "Come on, Greg. How many kids does your brother have?"
"None, Izzy. He doesn't have any kids."
"Exactly, Greg. Your brother doesn't have a wife. He doesn't have any kids. He's not responsible for anyone. You've got Wendy, and another one on the way." She leaned forward, her face just inches from Gregor's. Your brother is not responsible to anyone." She unfolded her arms, thumped the table with a fist, and stood up, scraping the chair on the wooden floor. She placed the palms of her hands on the table in front of her. Leaning over the table, her eyes challenged Gregor to say something. He could not answer her, nor could he turn his eyes away. "He can talk all he likes, Greg, but he doesn't have to answer to anyone, does he?" She kept her eyes firmly on Gregor. "I told him I'd have a talk with you first, Izzy," Gregor finally managed to blurt out. "Well, we've had our talk then, haven't we?" It wasn't a question, and Gregor knew it. Isabel straightened up and went back to ladling soup.